Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
How one Central Florida funeral director comforts families grieving and herself. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. One aspect of a funeral director's job is to help families face death with comfort and less fear. We'll hear from one Central Florida funeral director who, for the past decade and a half, has been doing just that.
And you know what? Death doesn't stop, so we don't either.
Her own journey into this field began with grief. We'll hear from Sarah Eisenbar Budgen and her mental health colleague, Carol Casacchio, about grief and the funeral industry. That story is part of our Sounds of Central Florida series, a partnership between Central Florida Public Media and UCF's Nicholson School of Communication and Media. That's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. The measles virus has been reported in Orange County. The Florida Department of Health reported two patients diagnosed with the disease in the county. Measles is highly contagious and is spread through the air, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pettersen tells us more.
According to the state's most recent records update, the cases were first reported last Friday. One patient was listed between the ages of 25 and 29. The other was listed at 4 years of age or younger. Both cases were acquired within the state. Central Florida Public Media reached out to the department requesting information on the epidemiological investigation, but the department said it could not comment. The state has not issued any advisories regarding the outbreak. It's been a record year for measles in Florida. According to the state's online database, which goes back to 1992, Florida has reported 152 cases of measles this year. That figure makes up 41% of all measles cases in the state's history since 1992. Joe Mario Pettersen, Central Florida Public Media.
A state campaign role has a county commissioner under pressure to resign by August as she runs for Orange County mayor. Central Florida Public Media's Sam Stockbridge has more.
Orange County Commissioner Myra Uribe took heat from fellow Democrats after affirming she'll wait until November to step down from the commission. Under 2021 changes to Florida's resign to run rules, that could leave her seat vacant for most of 2027. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis could call a special election or appoint a replacement. To guarantee voters can choose her successor, the resignation would need to take effect by August 1st. Uribe says upcoming votes on tourism money, a homeless shelter, and the budget later this year are too important to potentially miss.
But I'm not going to abandon my community for politics. This is a nonpartisan race, and this is not a political process. And I will stand firm on that because my obligation is to the people of my district.
She also downplayed the consequences of a DeSantis appointment to the six-member commission, if he fills the vacancy at all. He hasn't appointed anyone to another commission seat that has been vacant for a month. At a press conference in Apopka marking Florida's Emancipation Day, organizer Genesis Reyes said Uribe should reconsider.
This is not about DeSantis's ability or lack thereof to choose. This choice does not belong to him. It belongs to the voters.
The deadline for Uribe to formalize her resignation is May 28th. Sam Stockbridge, Central Florida Public Media.
Brevard County commissioners are letting voters decide whether to renew a half-cent sales tax that funds projects benefiting the Indian River Lagoon. Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durick has more on Tuesday's decision to add the question to the November ballots.
The lagoon tax will stop being collected after this year, unless Brevard County voters choose to renew it for another 10 years. In the years since 2016, when voters first approved it, the sales tax will have raised more than $580 million for the Save Our Indian River Lagoon program. Lately, most of those funds have been spent on reducing how much pollution gets into the lagoon. New data from the St. Johns River Water Management District show that as of last year, more seagrass is growing more densely across the lagoon.
That was Molly Durig reporting. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. A global playwriting competition based in Orlando is calling for new works written in Spanish.
Spanish is part of our core, right? If you see many of our cities have names in Spanish, even our own state, right? Florida, Florida, we say.
Hear more on that competition and why on Spotlight. Get it wherever you get this podcast. The job of Sarah Eisenbar Budgen is to help families face death with comfort and less fear. As a funeral director at Good Life Funeral Home and Cremation, she guides people through loss and helps honor her loved ones. Alongside her is Carol Caracchio, a trained psychiatrist who offers emotional support to families. For our Sounds of Central Florida series, a partnership between Central Florida Public Media and UCF's Nicholson School of Communication and Media, student journalists Jennifer Sleem and Jasmine Dominique have this story on what goes into caring for those grieving.
Good Life Funeral Home, this is Sarah. How may I help you?
My name is Sarah Eisenbart Budgen. I am 50 years old. I've been a funeral director for 15 years. When I was in mortuary school, I lost my grandma, right? So that loss was a really big loss for me. And so when any family that I meet, any situation that I come up to, I kind of try to put myself back in that place because, one, it was one of the best training tools I had for doing what I do. But I think it's important to be in the moment and understand that loss as well. So when you immerse yourself in it, you can kind of understand their grief. I had a lady who sat with me for like an hour telling me everything that happened to her dad. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. Oh my God. You know, so you're reliving it with them, going through all of the things that they went through. And I think there's a lot of like, they're unburdening themselves. They're always very thankful. They're like, oh my gosh, you're so easy to talk to. I'm so sorry. I just unloaded on you. I said, no. I said, please. That means you're comfortable here, and that makes me feel good because I want you to feel like you can tell me anything and it doesn't leave here.
Yeah, my name is Kira Carrasquillo, and I'm the administration person here at the funeral home. As soon as I get home, I had to clean myself, like taking a shower, have like my 5 minutes resting, don't talk to anybody in my house because I don't want to bring nothing to the house. I just lost my brother 2 years ago. He died here in Alafaya. They called me, I was here at work, and they called me that he had an accident on his motorcycle. I don't react. I don't cry. My first thought is I had to call my family. I start the arrangement. I don't cry until probably after the third week after we bury him. Because you're born, you live, and you die. And then you have to make the best as you can before the last part comes.
My opinion on death is different than other people's opinion on death. Yes, I know it's going to happen. You have people who either accept that fact or they fight their whole life kicking against the bricks to not be there. They're in denial. No, this isn't going to happen. I think so when you have a healthy expectation that death is the unfortunate side effect of life, you start to look at things like, okay, I only have a limited amount of time, truly, and I don't know what that end date is. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 20 years. It could be in 5. It could be in 2. I could drown. I could, you know what I mean? Like you start going, eh. I kind of just have learned to compartmentalize it and go, okay. But I don't see a therapist. But a lot of people do. And I think that's a great thing, especially if it's something that like it unburdens you in a way. Like I don't feel like I have to be unburdened. I think emotionally, this job is a lot harder on us than I even admit, because I'm like, no, I'm strong. I can handle it. I don't need any of that. I've been doing this for this long. It doesn't really. And some days I'm like, I can't handle anything today. I'm not doing it. I can't think about work. I can't think about anything. Don't ask me anything about funerals. Don't, you know, so I have days where I'm like, I don't even want to think about it at all. And you know what? Death doesn't stop. So we don't either.
That story was produced by student journalists Jennifer Sleem and Jasmine Dominique as part of our Sounds of Central Florida series, a partnership between Central Florida Public Media and UCF's Nicholson School of Communication and Media. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.